It's Monday and time for an election wrap-up and analysis on principles and policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the executive director of the group, the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is my co-host, vice chairman, good friend, and fellow analyst, Chuck Michael.
And it's great to be here, Barry. I think we got some interesting things to talk about this week.
Well, I think we do, too. But we're going to start the top of the week off by taking a look, now that the dust is somewhat settled. As everybody knows, last week on Tuesday was Election Day. And the election had a few surprises to it. I think a number of people got surprised on at least one of the issues. And some may have gotten surprised on all three of the issues on how they turned out. We're talking about the statewide issues. And if you're a regular listener of our program, you know that we did an analysis during the week prior on all three statewide issues and some of their impacts. And, you know, Chuck, I know that a number of folks who listened, you know, we got a lot of traffic on our website. Our Policy Institute actually put up endorsements in relation to those issues. And, well, we batted about
667.
Yeah, because we got two out of the three of them right. what probably wasn't all that hard, although I think a lot of people might have been surprised about the response on issue one. And that's where we want to start here with our analysis, is state issue one. And ladies and gentlemen, as you were aware, when you went to your polling place to cast your vote, you saw on your ballot state issue one, which was the issue that was brought to you by the Ohio legislature, probably at the request of the judicial branch. I believe that State Supreme Court Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor was a very big supporter of this particular issue, even to the point, Chuck, if I remember correctly and seeing some of the media reports, that she might have stepped over the line about politicking and from her office for this particular ballot issue.
I do seem to remember reading a headline or a story someplace that there had been talk of an ethics complaint, but I don't know what's come of that.
Well, my guess is that now that issue one, which would have increase the retirement age, the mandatory retirement age of judges from 70 years old to 75 years old, was defeated by the voters in last Tuesday's election. Probably that complaint will either die on the vine or not go anywhere. But anyhow, needless to say, I think it surprised some people, probably some of the legislators specifically, and maybe a lot of the folks, including Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor, who was a significant cheerleader for this issue, that the voting public decided that they didn't think it was the best idea to increase the age limit for when we say a judge should no longer be serving actively on the bench. And honestly, that vote was, of the three statewide issues, it had the actually least number of votes cast for it. So that tells me that to some people, the issue was either unimportant and they just didn't bother to vote on that issue, or it was so confusing they weren't sure whether it was a good idea or not, and they hesitated and didn't cast a ballot on state issue one, because the turnout in the election was over 3.5 million people who went to the polls and voted. I haven't seen the final numbers on this yet about what percentages, but I believe we were in the low to mid 40% range of turnout for this election, which in an off year, in a non-statewide, race here where you don't have like the U.S. Senate races or race for the presidency or for the statewide executive offices, that's phenomenal turnout, obviously driven by the other issue we're going to talk about in a little bit, state issue two. But 3.5 million voters came out, but only 3.27 million roughly cast a ballot on state issue one. And when they cast their ballots, they cast it pretty strongly. This issue went down in flames, Chuck, as we'd say in the political world.
Yeah.
It honestly wasn't even close, and it was a little closer than state issue two, but not by very much. 62% of the voters who went to the polls, over 2.1 million voters, said no to state issue one, said no to increasing that age limit four active sitting judges in the state of Ohio. Chuck, I'd like to think that maybe our little program here and the Institute for Principal Policy had a little role to play in that and maybe educated a handful of voters. I mean, you know, I doubt it very seriously if it even added up to 0.1% of voters we might have changed their minds on. But I feel that we did a fine job in our analysis and in our endorsement on that particular issue.
Oh, I think so. And let me interject what I think partly happened on this election. I think a lot of people didn't understand what it was about, and I think we may have opened some inquiry into what it was all about when we mentioned the fact that we thought very possibly that this was a first step towards going over to a bar association appointment of judges, which is the way it's done in other states. Basically, the bar association makes a recommendation and they're appointed usually by the governor or by some committee of the legislature to sit in that seat. And then they have what's called a retention election after a certain amount of time. Well, I think a lot of people looked at that issue as it was laid out on the ballot and said, gee, I smell a rat here. They didn't know what kind of a rat they smelled, but they certainly smelled something that wasn't right. And they said, okay, if I don't understand this, and it hasn't been explained any better than this, I think I would like to vote no on it.
Yeah, I think so as well. You know, honestly, the rule of thumb in dealing with a ballot issue is if a voter goes to the ballot box and they're confused about the issue or they're not sure of which of what their vote would actually mean on the issue, oftentimes they vote no. No, a no is easier to get than a yes. Honestly, you know, that whole idea of trying to get someone to a yes is a negotiation, but getting them to say no is just a quick reaction type thing. And I think what happened may have been that, you know, this was so, as you mentioned, so esoteric that people just were like, why are we doing this? You know, Is there a problem? Haven't heard of, you know, you don't hear across in the news media or anyplace else that there's this radical shortage of judges to hear cases, and that cases are stacking up, you know, and there are thousands and thousands of cases that are not being heard across Ohio each year because we just don't have enough judges in the courtroom. Yeah, unlike the arguments you hear about teachers and nurses and doctors and things of that nature, I guess the judiciary didn't make their case for why this was supposedly necessary.
Well, I think you and I discussed the fact that this is a state legislature initiated issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you and I both sort of looked this over and said, why would the state legislature want to constitutionally surrender one of its constitutional authorities? And that's exactly what this issue did. They would have been surrendering some of their ability to appoint commissions and courts of conciliation.
Right.
Well, you and I both looked at that and said, okay, why? Now, the average voter may not have been quite that sophisticated. And I don't want to insult the audience, but I think they may have looked at that surrender of authority and said, the same question came to their mind. Why would the state legislature want to give up power rather than try to get some power back? And especially as regards the judiciary system, it just really didn't make any sense to me. And knowing what I knew about some of the what the judiciary would like, and that is to make it a sort of an old boy fraternity that's appointed by the Bar Association. And they can, and you know, sitting justices can make sure their friends get other judicial appointments and that kind of thing. I just smelled a rat with this issue.
So in other words, you were touching base with your inner Patrick Henry on that one.
Well, yes, that's right. And if you don't know what we mean, Patrick Henry was asked to be a delegate to the Constitutional Convention, and he knew what it was when he saw it, and he said, I smelt a rat. He knew this was the Constitutional Convention was supposed to be amending the Articles of Confederation. He knew right up front and said so, that this was an attempt to write a new constitution.
Yeah. Patrick Henry was actually really prescient about that. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because later this week, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. We're actually going to be talking about more shenanigans from our state legislature in relation to calling constitutional conventions. Yes, folks, we have another one out there, but we're just going to tease you with that and just tune in later this week because we're going to be talking more about the new version that's popped up. But back to our state issues, though. Chuck, you know, it's honestly for me, I mean, I understood all that and giving up constitutional authority and, you know, a branch never really gives up something, the power they have, unless they think they can get something more out of it or they can move the ball in a different direction. But but honestly, I'm kind of one of these, what you call policy wonk, where I've been kind of inside the machinery so long, that's kind of my DNA. Honestly, for a lot of folks out there, and you know, guys, ladies and gentlemen, folks listening here, if you voted on issue one and you voted against it, drop us an email at principledpolicy.com, log on to our webpage, and go to our comments section and fire us an email off and let us know just kind of briefly what your reason was for saying no to it. I mean, and it's fine. I mean, it doesn't have to say, well, because you guys convinced me this way or that way. That's not really what I'm getting at. I just want to know, what was your thought process? What got you to no? Was it the fact that it was too confusing? The fact that it just seemed like it was unnecessary? That it was something that you had an issue with whether or not we should be taking away constitutional authority from different branches of the government? Or could it have been, and Chuck, I'm guessing that probably for the majority of people, it might have been this. Okay, we're going to say that we're going to have somebody judging in a case, and cases can get pretty hot and heavy and involved and heated, and we're going to have somebody sitting on the bench, let's say, until the age of 75, which means they can be elected at 75, and justices serve for 6 years, so that means they'll be 81 years old when they finally step down from the bench. I think maybe a lot of people just thought, you know what? I'm sure that even a judge would like to retire and probably would like to retire a lot earlier than the age of 81. So I think maybe it was just this whole situation of, you know, we don't need to, you know, have a greatly aged judiciary. You know, we need judges who understand the law, understand the Constitution. Not that these judges wouldn't, but the point is that, you know, there does come a time in the season. And if they've reached an age where we haven't changed this since 1968, and it seems to be working pretty well, the only people that seems not to like it are the judges themselves who want to stay on the bench longer. Why change it?
Yeah, exactly. Why fix the plumbing when it's not broken?
Yeah, well, you know, unless you really just like the looks of that new $300 faucet and tap handles, and you want to replace your one that's working just fine in your house with one that's a lot more expensive and may or may not work any better. Well, you know, that's your choice, but I think the voters said, you know what, we'll stick with what's already working. Let's just not go there. And honestly, you know, that like I said, that was a shellacking. I mean, when you got a 62% of the vote telling both the General Assembly and the judiciary, no, just stick with what's working and don't be bringing this kind of stuff to the ballot. I think that hopefully the message has been received, although I know even hearing after the election that, you know, the justices were, oh, well, you know, ageism reign supreme. I think I saw that in print that our Chief Justice actually threw out the card, you know, oh, that's ageism and we need to get past that prejudice. And I thought, why is everything always framed when you don't get your way in that people are biased or prejudiced? Could it just be that maybe people have common sense and they see the utter ridiculousness of asking for something like this?
Yeah. Well, listen, I hate to tell you this, but we have to cut it short there. And if you want to continue discussing that tomorrow or go on to issue two,
well, I think we're going to have to, you know, we need to give some time to issues two and three because they were the ones who really generated the turnout for this election. And the numbers will prove that out. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us tomorrow evening at 5:30. For principles and policies as we continue on with our election wrap-up and analysis.